This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Friday, April 6, 2018. I'm Caleb Brown. The trade war between China and the United States will have a few winners, many losers, and leave the two countries with worse relations. Cato Institute trade policy analyst Simon Lester and visiting scholar Inu Monik discuss where trade policy goes from here. Larry Kudlow says the markets should not be overreacting to the announcements from both the United States and China with respect to tariffs. These are in the proposal stages. They're not imposed yet. He says this is arguably not in a trade war and that everybody should just chill out.
Yeah, the Trump administration has continuously given us some mixed messages about what they're doing on trade. And it's reassuring to hear Larry Kudlow say that, hey, maybe we won't actually see these tariffs. But then if you listen to other members of the Trump administration, it sounds like they're coming any day. And it sounds like they're trying to both reassure Wall Street so that the investors don't panic, but also make China, worried enough that they actually cave in. This strategy is a bit of a mess. It's hard to see how it will actually be effective, and it makes it really difficult to figure out where this is all going. You know, it's easy to look at these tariff numbers and panic a bit and say this is going to be really bad for the economy, but maybe we'll all go away. You know, we've seen this in the past already with the Korea U.S. trade agreement. The U.S. made some big demands and then kind of gave in and negotiated a new Korea-U.S. trade agreement that wasn't much different than the old one. So it's really hard to figure out where this is going.
If you follow markets for various goods, soybeans were one of the ones that was hit most severely by the announcement that China would be placing tariffs or is in the planning stages of placing tariffs on U.S. soybeans. And if you look at this Bloomberg map of where soybean production occurs in the United States, it is a vast swath of the Midwest. How politically targeted are these tariffs from the Chinese? Remember, we were talking about Harley-Davidson motorcycles and Kentucky bourbon not long ago, but is soybean something that is strategic in nature?
I would say that China's retaliation list is very strategic when you look at it in the broader picture, because when you take a look at all the industries that have been listed as possible targets, about 54% of the jobs in those industries affected by Chinese tariffs are in counties that voted heavily for Trump. So it is going to affect his constituent base. And you look at all the other tariffs that are possibly going to be imposed, you have stuff like civilian aircraft and engines and equipment. That's like about $16.3 billion. The soybeans would be about $12.3 billion and passenger cars at about $10.5. So China has a fairly substantive list that would impact about $49.8 billion of U.S. exports to China. So this is definitely targeted retaliation on China's part.
All right. So, I mean, where does this go from here? It doesn't seem like there's any indication that this will be alleviated anytime soon. And it's a months-long process to get these things either adjudicated in some way. So what happens in the next couple months?
Well, the U.S. process is, we have a democracy where we deliberate about these things and we ask for public comments. So we've got a couple months here where, we have to sort out exactly what are the tariffs that we're going to impose. And, a lot of interest groups will weigh in with that. China doesn't have the same problem. They can just kind of act. So I think, but they're just kind of going to stand back and wait and see what the U.S. does. In the meantime, though, hopefully, the U.S. and China will sit down and talk about some of these things. These tariffs don't have to be imposed. The U.S. has demands. They have concerns about things going on in the Chinese market. There are things that China could come back with to say, well, look, we understand your concerns and we will do these things to alleviate them. So and some comments from people like Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Ross have suggested that, a negotiated solution is possible. So, there's going to be a lot of hand-wringing over the next coming weeks and months. months. Hopefully, you know, cooler heads kind of prevail here and we get some negotiated solution.
Yeah, I would say the big question in my mind is how sincere the United States officials are in going through a negotiated strategy at this point, because China has basically said that, you know, they had bilateral negotiations ongoing for many years and the United States has dropped the ball on that and is not engaged. To what extent that's true, I mean, we don't know the level of engagement that is happening. But if the U.S. is not going to sincerely engage in negotiations, I can see that being an escalation for a trade war. So at this point, we're still in the area where anything could really happen, but there is room that this could be used for leverage to try and bring China to the negotiating table and find a solution to these common problems.
If I could just add one thing here, there are three or four big issues going on in world trade where the U.S. has basically said, we're really mad at what others are doing, but we're not going to tell you what we want just yet. And the strategy seems to be put, you know, the ultimate amount of pressure on other countries, to give in by just sort of making them, really nervous about things. But you know, what we're seeing similarly here with China is demands that China do something, but really not the specifics. And the idea is just to sort of have this threat of tariffs hanging over everyone's head. So when they finally hear what the U.S. wants, they'll cave and say, okay, we'll give it to you. Whether that strategy works, I don't know. But that seems like a lot of what the U.S. is doing with regard to China and on some other negotiating issues.
Does that itself place the United States at risk when it comes to trying to be fundamentally honest with respect to trading negotiations, or saying we're not going to get into what we actually want?
I think that other countries are going to get sick of this and they're not going to want to negotiate, in this way. And so, there's a lot of sort of unseen things going on here. And what we may find is over the next couple of years, other countries spend time negotiating with each other and ignoring the United States, because you just feel like you're not going to get something good out of a negotiation with the United States. And so, what we might see is, the EU finishing up a trade agreement with Japan and other countries joining the Trans-Pacific Partnership, but basically other countries liberalizing with each other as they get fed up with dealing with the uncertainty that they're getting from U.S. trade negotiators.
Is there a product that the Chinese government could say, "Yep, you don't get this product at all anymore"? Because if you look at some of the bubble charts of the products that we ship across the Pacific Ocean, televisions is looms large in terms of what we import from China. And of course, those are huge supply chains that bring televisions to the public in the United States. But I'm trying to imagine what would simply end this.
I would think that a lot of the products coming from China, like televisions, we could ultimately get somewhere else. There are a couple of things that they make. They have rare earth minerals that I think are used to make smartphones. There are a couple of things that China has that are hard to get elsewhere. And if China cut off the supply of those, that would hurt. There's also the problem of us needing to borrow money and China often buying a lot of U.S. Treasury bonds. And if China said, well, we're not going to lend you any more money, that could also be very, generally disruptive to the U.S. economy.
Donald Trump has not hidden from the public his dislike of how our trading system operates and the rules that the United States operates under. So is he winning by losing in a way? That is he truly going to weaken the trading system with the World Trade Organization and other organizations?
Yeah, I think the best way to think about the World Trade Organization is a set of rules that provide for a mutually agreed constraints on protectionism. It's not complete free trade, but we all agree to limit tariffs and not to engage in protectionist regulations. And the system works well, and people generally respect it, and it acts as a check on protectionism. But what we're seeing now is the U.S. government initiating protectionist measures that are outside the bounds of the normal rules, and China reacting by doing the same. And so when you have these two major trading powers playing fast and loose with the rules and pushing the boundaries, it just it, it, it creates the possibility that the whole system will collapse. And we're not close to that yet, and I don't mean to be alarmist, but it's not good when you have these two countries basically, you know, taking protectionist measures that nobody really thinks are justified, and, you know, sort of escalating it sort of back and forth. We're going to impose these tariffs, and no, we're going to impose these tariffs. So there's a real threat here that this spreads and that the value that the world trading system provides will be undermined, and you know this could spread to other countries and people pulling out of the system. So ideally, we can get this all in check and get people back with playing within the rules again.
Simon Lester is a trade policy analyst at the Cato Institute, and Inu Monic is a visiting scholar at the Cato Institute. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast at iTunes and Google Play, and follow us on Twitter at Cato Podcast.